Welcome to the podcast of Fellowship Church in Dallas, Pennsylvania. To find out more about Fellowship Church, visit fellowshipefc.org.
Hello, welcome to the Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors at Fellowship Church in Dallas, Pennsylvania. Our podcast provides biblical sermons, practical discussions, and training resources for our church and community. And today we are talking with Mandy and Gretchen from Bethany Christian Services about safe families. Ladies, hello.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us today. This is exciting, an opportunity to share this great program. Thanks for having us share it.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. It's awesome to be here.
We're really excited. This is a great opportunity for people in our church. So can you just tell us a little bit about what Safe Families is, maybe even broader, what Bethany Christian Services does?
All right. Well, Bethany Christian Services is a global organization, so they are all over the place providing tons of programs for people in need. But we in Luzerne County really are focusing on preventing kids from being in out-of-home placement. And so we currently have two programs that are going right now, and Safe Families is one of those. Safe Families is run through volunteers. And so we are reaching out to churches and people in the community, people that really have a heart, like you're saying, people who have a heart to minister to other people. And most of us, if we're being honest, we don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this gigantic heart inside of us that says, like, we want to care for people. We want to love on them. We see people in need, and it breaks our heart every day. And then we're left with the question of, well, what can I do about it? And so Mandy and I are working with Safe Families and really trying to connect those people to helping families in crisis.
Yeah, the families in crisis, the goal of Safe Families is to get them through a crisis, not a long-term solution, but a short-term solution for a short-term crisis. So that means it could be anything from families that, like if you think of a single mom who just started a new job, but it's 2 weeks until she can start getting help with childcare. So that would be, say, families coming alongside, volunteers from local churches coming alongside of them for that in between. So they can start their job, and then they can also wait until the childcare starts. And so it's getting them through these little crises where most of us have family or close friends that we rely on that would get us through a crisis like that. But many in our community don't have that. They don't have people that they could turn to, a safe resource for them that they can connect with and know that their kids are safe.
Yeah, so it really provides a community for these families in need.
Right, right.
Maybe you can just share some of the different opportunities that there are for people to get involved in that in-between time mm-hmm. with those families.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways that we can get involved. And we call it a circle of support, but it's just kind of like a mental picture to give you to think about, you know, that when you're in a time of crisis, think about, you know, maybe you had a hospitalization at some time in your life and we're going to need meals. My kids are going to need transported to school or sports events, you know, and you're starting to think about all these little details that pile up. Well, a circle of support is in essence a group of people that support one family, not just one person coming along and saying, oh, I can help, but several coming together, working together to create this support system where this family, like Mandy said, is supported for a short time period, a short time of crisis, and then they can get through it feeling stronger and feeling more empowered. So there's transportation, there are meals, there are people that, you know, they could just provide resource cards like, oh, I'm going to get a food shopping gift card. Different ways to provide resources and helps for families that really wrap them in kind of like a cocoon of care.
I like that. Yeah, that's something that I think our church does well. And I know a lot of churches do things like that for people that are part of their church, that are involved in the church family, meals, transportation, helping raise kids, babysitting. And you think, what do people that don't have a church do?
Yeah, I don't want to
know. In these situations, mm-hmm. right? But then that's where Bethany steps in to be that community of support, to offer that cocoon of care for those families. What is it that really drew the two of you to this organization to get involved? Like, what's your heart for these families?
One of the biggest things for me is after years of being a foster parent, I saw the disconnect between child welfare and the churches. And the child welfare is saying, we need help. We need people in the community to step up and help wrap around these families. And I saw churches that really wanted to help. They had the heart. They just didn't know how to help. And so with Safe Families, it's an incredible opportunity where we can say, we can keep kids out of foster care. We can wrap families with support and encouragement through a godly Christian community so that we don't have so many kids in foster care. Often when kids end up in foster care, it takes a long time for them to either be reunified or ended up adopted. So that's a difficult space to be in. And if it ended up being just a small crisis that they were in the first place, it'd be amazing if a church could say, hey, I can help with that. We can wrap around them so they never have to be traumatized by foster care. And so I'm very passionate about it because I love the prevention side. I love being able to see families whole and healthy and under the umbrella and the support of a local church.
Yeah, and you've been involved in things like this before. You were with Care Portal for a long time. You helped get that started here in Luzerne County. And actually, we were the first in the state to have Care Portal.
Absolutely.
So how is Care Portal similar to Safe Families?
I don't know if they're necessarily similar, except for the fact that they work really well together. Sometimes a crisis can be needing supplies, needing beds, needing food. Some of those items are very much a crisis issue. However, the support goes often beyond that, where the real need is often relational. And so I think that's where Safe Families almost makes it more of a complete story. Care Portal is one way to serve and connect, and Safe Families is another way. But ultimately, it's about relationships. Care Portal, making those connections is what is the most important. But ultimately, with Safe Families, you get to go even deeper and you really get to connect with those families. And with traditional foster care, if you're caring for a child, a lot of times there's boundaries that are set where you don't get to invest in the parents and those people that are wrapping around that child. But with this, we encourage that.
Yeah, the boundaries are removed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we just get to be extended family. We get to be a caring community member. And so I think that's when we get to really show the heart of God and we get to show them who Christ is by walking alongside of them. So it could be through Care Portal by providing a bed, or it could be walking alongside of them and saying, you know what, I'll watch your kid while you get your feet underneath you. Yeah. So I think it really just goes hand in hand. It's not really necessarily a similar program at all, but it goes hand in hand. We need both.
Yeah.
I would add to that too, you know, boundaries and barriers. I think there are a lot of people that when they think of foster care, they have a bad equation with it. And they think, oh, people just get into it to, you know, for the money, and they don't get into it for the children. But with Safe Families, nobody can say that. You know, it is all about relationship. There's no transaction happening at all. It's literally out of the good of people's hearts that they're willing to put themselves out there, receiving nothing in response, in return. And so that barrier for family members to say, you know, I'm gonna do something really hard and I'm gonna ask for help, because I don't know if you're that quick to ask for help, but I'm not. But I think when people are going through a crisis, they are so scared to ask for help. And they're wondering, who's on the other end of this call? Who am I really speaking to? And when they know that this person's just doing it because they care, that just breaks down so many barriers that they're facing. And it really helps them feel like these people do care. These people are trustworthy. I can leave my kids in their care and feel like they're not going to badmouth me. They're not going to talk bad about me. They're not going to try to, you know, steal my children, or, you know, all these things that go through people's minds, you know, in regular care.
Yeah.
They're just like, wow, these people just care. Hard to come by in this world.
Absolutely. But in the church, that's what we're called to do, to care for orphans and widows, right? And that is what is happening here. This is taking that scripture and applying it. Mm-hmm. It's making it very practical. So you both obviously have the heart for this. Gretchen, your story is interesting. I want you to share a little bit more about how you got involved with Bethany Christian Services.
Yeah, I had a history of being in social work. I did foster and adoption for about 10 years. And then I had a medical emergency and was taken out of that field for a time. And I didn't know what God was doing with my life. And I was led and called to be a pastor. So I pastored for 7 years and I did family ministry and I loved every second of it. I love working with families. I believe in the power of the family unit and I believe in strengthening that. And I feel like everything I've done for the last 20 years has been in this same vein. And so when I heard about Safe Families and our other program, Home Builders, which the name kind of says it, my heart just was drawn right into it. And I was like, this is what we need. This is what the church needs. We have people in every single church that are just like, they're biting at the bit. What can I do? What can I do to meet the needs of my community? And they have no answers for that. And so this just, it provides such a great answer, such a great means of being the hands and feet of Jesus in a very broken world. And giving people purpose in their day-to-day lives. Mm-hmm. You can work a full-time job and still be a volunteer for Safe Families. You can be a stay-at-home mom. You can be a grandparent. You can be an aunt or an uncle and take on a role. And it can be up to your discretion, your personal boundaries. We're not going to ask anything more of people than what they're willing to give. And really, anybody and everybody can get involved in this and have a role in being Jesus to a family in need.
Awesome. Yeah, it seems like it's a pretty easy thing for someone to get involved with. You don't need to make huge adjustments to your life.
Right.
And I see it as something that Christians and the church will easily gravitate to because of what you're doing to care for others. People always want to get involved. Right, yeah. The church always wants to get involved. How can we help more? How can we be the hands and feet of Jesus? How can we give back to the community? And foster care and adoption is one of those issues that everybody wants to be able to get involved with. And they say, oh, I wish I had the time, mm-hmm. I wish I had the space, whatever. But this makes it very doable for just about anybody. Yeah. So what are the different ways that people can get involved with Safe Families?
So there are four main ways that anyone can get involved. The first one is more in depth. It's becoming a host family. And that one is a little bit more intensive. We do require that people are vetted and come under the umbrella of a local church like Fellowship. Mm-hmm. And it is almost like you're applying to be a foster parent. It's not quite as extensive, but it is very extensive. We want to make sure that these children are cared for very well and safely. We do a lot of trainings to make sure that families know how to care for children, but also how to care for the families that are in crisis, the parents. So that would be the most in-depth and time-consuming.
So there's parameters there. There's guidelines.
Yes.
So before you were saying how it removes the boundaries.
Right.
But you still have to do like background checks, mm-hmm. things like that. So before we get into these other areas, what are some of those boundaries more specifically that are overcome through Safe Families that people would typically face if they were a foster parent?
That's a good question. The normal boundaries of foster care are often you see the parents at visits, mm-hmm. and that's about the extent. But with Safe Families, if you become a host family, you can have as much interaction with the parents as you want, as you are comfortable with. Some people come to the point where they are willing to have them into their home for Sunday lunch, you know. It could be that you're comfortable meeting them at the park so that if you are hosting a child for an extended period of time, and I'm saying extended, possibly up to a month or two, that tends to be more of the longer stays, Or it just could be for a couple afternoons a week. You know, it's as small or as big as the family needs. But it could be meeting at the park and you getting to know them, having conversations, learning about their history. A lot of that you don't get when you're doing traditional foster care because you don't get to really walk alongside of them because there is a safety issue. Right. Instead of a crisis, you know, I think you have to understand that if a child is in foster care, there is a significant safety issue. With safe families, we want to identify families that are in crisis, that they could be good parents once that crisis is passed.
Yeah, so this is more proactive and preventative than it
absolutely.
Is reactive.
Absolutely.
And parents are doing the best thing they can in the moment of crisis by reaching out for help. Mm-hmm. You know, if they don't reach out for help, potentially they do face foster care. Mm-hmm. But in the moment where they're like, I'm in a place of need and I'm going to reach out for help and trust other people to help me and avert that crisis moment, how can we not say they're great parents? You know, they're doing a great thing in that moment. So there's no us against them, you know, kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. It's a us and them, us with them. We are together caring for their children and their family.
Right.
Coming alongside.
Yeah.
Right. And that's so biblical as well.
Amen.
Let's bear each other's burdens, you know, and that doesn't mean just Christians, right? We bear other people's burdens because he bore our burdens.
Mm. Amen. Yeah. So host families, that's the first one.
That's the first one.
Okay.
And again, just because you sign up to be a host family does not mean that every family that's in crisis you have to serve. We want to build a lot of different supports, multiple host families, multiple other ways to serve, which I'll get into. But we don't want people to feel like they're obligated. You have to look at your situation and say, this week I already had a vacation planned, or I have this planned. I'm unable to this week. That's the opportunities that are available. There's no pressure to say yes, just because you've said, I want to be a part of this. You have to take a look at your own life as well. So that's the host family. And most of the children, about 70% that we host, are under the age of 6. So they tend to be younger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think of older kids, parents can sometimes leave them alone in a more safe environment. But under the age of 6. And we have a 95% return home rate. So the goal is that the children go home safely to a more stable home environment. So that is ultimately the goal.
No longer in crisis.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. The second option for people to get involved is a family friend. And that person is someone who is willing to give a ride, to check up on the parents, to see how they're doing, ask them how their day is going, ask them if they need a meal, ask them what their plan is for the week. You know,
be just a friend.
A friend. But they also, the goal of the family friend is also to wrap around the host family. So we have, again, those layers of support. So the host family never feels like they are the only one wrapping around this child and they feel like they're in an island. You know, we don't want that either. So wrapping around the host family, making sure they have support is also important. So then the next option would be a family
coach, which is more like a mentor, somebody who maybe has skills in different areas and could help applying for jobs, applying for housing assistance, maybe has some contacts in the area that, you know, resource, I know where to go for this. I know where to go for, you know, for meals or for clothing, things that the family might need. And that mentor comes alongside, that coach comes alongside and coaches them up, you know. So it does what a good coach does and just gives support, gives encouragement, speaks life into them in a time of need and gives just real life helps and tricks and tips along the way. So that person, maybe they have case management experience, maybe they have worked in the field in the past and, you know, so that might take a different level of skill set and might not be for everybody. But if, you know, if you feel called to do that, then that would be a great role for someone to take. And then lastly, it's a resource friend. And that's somebody who would provide gift cards, things like that, or Maybe they're a plumber or an electrician, and they just say, hey, if you ever come across a family and they need something checked out, give me a call. You know, okay. It doesn't have to necessarily be on the books. You don't necessarily have to have your clearances done and all these extra things done. We could show up with them and just, they could provide assistance where and when necessary, but it would be like a, you know, very infrequent kind of help.
Yeah. So pretty much anybody can get involved. Mm-hmm. There's really no limit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's excellent. So why is this so needed in our community here?
The county felt that it was very needed in our area. The county pursued Bethany Christian Services to begin the program Home Builders. And when we were in conversation about home builders, that's a more intensive therapeutic approach in home for our therapists to go in at a time of really impending placement for families. We were in conversations about that, and we said, hey, we have this other program, Safe Families. Would you be interested in that? And the county was thrilled. They love it. They are very supportive. The county, they place several kids every month, and they are looking for ways to reduce that number. They want to support families. They want to see this county improve and see families gain skills and build supports within the community where, you know, specialists aren't necessarily needed to come in. And, you know, we don't want to be firefighters. Mm-hmm. We want to be people who come in and teach prevention. Mm-hmm. Because that's the best way to avoid any of these issues.
Firefighters do that though. They like go to classroom.
That's true.
They teach like stop, drop, and roll, and like making sure you have batteries in your smoke detectors. So they can do prevention.
We want to be that style. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Not the ones that come, you know, when the fire is blazing to try to put it out.
Yeah, in our community, there are so many kids in foster care. I think the last number I had heard, which was probably almost 2 years ago, I don't know that it's gotten much better, was that there were 598 in our community, in Luzerne County alone, and there were only 72 foster homes in our county.
Overwhelming.
And so that means that kids are leaving our community to find some place to live.
And that means leaving their schools, too.
Schools, friends.
Leaving their supports. Mm-hmm. Leaving their home to be cared for in an outside agency. And that's heartbreaking. That's a lot of trauma.
And the reality is foster care is not going away because it is needed sometimes. But so is prevention. And there haven't been a lot of really great programs to work towards prevention. And so this program... I had actually heard about it years before it came here, and I thought, man, that is such a neat program. We should do that in this community, but it just wasn't around yet.
But you prayed about it.
Of course.
That's why it's here now.
sure. We'll say that, yeah. But it is. It's working in so many communities in our nation, and it really is great. When the church gets behind this, it's unstoppable. I mean, that's what's amazing about the body of Christ. When we work together to care for our community, it changes so much. Yeah. I mean, children and youth already is already so impacted positively. I can't even say enough about that. That's maybe not the point. But already they are feeling more supported just from having these two programs.
I think it's a great testimony. Like the county agencies see what a difference the church makes and sees how necessary the body of Christ is to a healthy community. Mm-hmm. And that's just a testimony of us being a light and offering ourselves to care for people.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a huge testimony for fellowship because I know how active this church has been in this community. And I know that the great reputation that you guys already have. And so it's almost just a next step of how else can we get involved?
Yeah. Yeah, we love it. I mean, anything we could do to help equip our families to get more involved in this. Now, it helps with preventing children from being placed in foster care. But is this a good first step for somebody that's maybe considering foster care but doesn't want to go all the way in yet?
Absolutely. It definitely is. This is something that it's going to give you a taste. of what it's like to be involved in the life of a child that you don't know. I really think that this would be a great way for people who are just considering, you know, do I have what it takes? Can I do this? It's a lot to be able to care for other people's children in your home, love on them, and then say goodbye. Mm-hmm. That's a really tough place to be in. And I've, you know, as a foster care worker, I was on the side of it where I would be driving away with kids in my backseat and look in the rearview mirror to see moms and dads on their knees mm-hmm. crying because their hearts had just been figuratively, literally ripped out by the loss of those children. And so, yeah, foster care can be really, really hard. Safe families, you get to maintain relationship.
It's beautiful.
And so, you know, I would say if you're drawn to foster care, really carefully, prayerfully consider maybe safe families is the answer, that you don't have to go through those difficult goodbyes.
Mm-hmm. I think also a lot of parents who already have kids in their home, they wonder about how foster care would affect their children. And so Safe Families is an opportunity for parents to say, hey, you know, we're going to in a way babysit, or we're going to wrap around this family. And it could be something very small to see how their kids would react. And I think knowing that my children love foster care, they keep begging for another child. So we'll see. But just understanding that, you have to understand your own family dynamic. You have to look at the situation you're in. And if you're going, I think we could do this, but I just don't know, this is a really great way to try to see if your family has the capacity for it. Because not everybody does. But there are other ways. Like being a family friend is a lot more, it's less commitment, but yet it's still very involved. And you get to care for those kids. And you get to care for the families. And it's a great way to kind of tiptoe into the water.
Yeah. And you make an impact.
Absolutely.
At any level, you're making an impact. And sometimes you don't realize like how these small things that you do really makes a difference for a family.
Yeah. We'll never really know, right? You never know until eternity what impact you've had on people's lives. But I think every opportunity, how can you just like walk away from an opportunity to serve other people and do it well and just know that you can't know. And that's the exciting part of it. You can't know, but you know that you've made a difference. You know, you've done something positive. And there, you know, the reports that we receive from Safe Families of people that even years later are being benefited by these relationships that are ongoing. These, you know, children, there are teens that were housed, and they, you know, we have teens in our society that couch surf. They're not welcome at home for one reason or another. They've had falling out with their parents and they have nowhere to go. They're homeless, they're couch surfing, and then Safe Families comes along and suddenly they have like a big sister that is their biggest advocate, and they have found themselves in a place of being able to go to college and come back home on breaks and spend time in that person's home. And these relationships are built, and it's just so exciting. It's so exciting to think that people who are in need find love, find homes, and really find Jesus.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to make a difference and have that kind of impact, what should they do?
Well, they can go onto the website, and it's bethany.org/, you could either do Safe Families or SFFC. And there is a link to volunteer now. That's the same website that it's going to be for Families in Crisis. So it's pretty easy across the board just to go on there, and either it's I need help or I'd like to volunteer, and you can choose one of those tabs. And we will walk you through the process of volunteering and what role you'd like to participate in.
Awesome. And then we'll also have an information session here at Fellowship Church.
That's right.
On April 30th. Mm-hmm. So will you both be there for that?
6:30 to 8:30.
Okay.
We'll be here.
And we will be here.
Yeah.
Okay. So if people want to learn more and they're not sure yet, that's a way to get more information to see if this really is a right first step for them.
Right. And come with questions. We love the opportunity to be able to share And, you know, we're in a place of still learning more about the program. So no question is off limits.
Yeah. Great. Well, Gretchen, Mandy, thank you again for sharing about Safe Families.
Thank you
and
for
we look
us.
Forward to continuing this discussion and seeing how Fellowship Church can get involved.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.